This morning, it just so happens on a Sunday, we have the celebration of the feast of St. Porphyrios, who was a 20th century saint of Greece, known for his mystic insight, well-loved, one of those persons who was acknowledged in his own lifetime as a saint, even before he reposed. And the mystics of our church like to tell us that there are no coincidences. And that does not mean that there's some sort of predestination that is kept secret from us by God and everything's been determined ahead of time. Not at all. But when we say there are no coincidences, it means that as life unfolds, everything seems to happen to fulfill God's plan for the salvation of the universe. Now this morning's gospel reading is a healing of a blind man by Jesus. Very simple, very straightforward, but what we take away from it is that you have a man who had faith in Jesus, a man who reaches out and seeks to encounter Jesus, and then a man whose life is forever changed through this encounter. And that is, if you will, the biggest takeaway from this gospel. It's very simple. We need to have faith that Jesus can heal us. We need to encounter him, and then we need to experience his grace. And here's where the interesting coincidence happens, if you will. This is the gospel reading that would have been on this Sunday, regardless of who the saints of the day are. But it just so happens that today, St. Porphyrios, we commemorate a saint who suffered from blindness during his adult life. Interesting. Interesting that it just so happens that on a Sunday when we commemorate St. Porphyrios, it's the Sunday of the healing of the blind man. There are no coincidences in life. And as interesting as that little coincidence is, most coincidences for us have a more direct effect on us and perhaps are even a bit more urgent. It is not an accident, it is not a coincidence that you and I have been put here together at this time in the history of this church. God, for some reason, has assembled us to be members of Holy Trinity. And we have been given a divine calling to build on the work of the generations that came before us, so that the generations after us can reap the benefits of our hard work. Sometimes I have occasion to talk to churches that are struggling a bit. Maybe they're smaller. And I will tell them, particularly the parish leadership, but really the whole parish, that the most lasting thing they will ever do in their life, along with raising their families, is to serve their church. And if you think about it, it's true, right? Because the work that we do serving our families and raising our families has benefits that will outlive us by generations. And so too it is with those of us who are part of church. Those of us who are part of church, we work for the church so that years and years and years from now, people will say, thank God for those who came before us. Well, that's true of us at Holy Trinity. We're kind of a medium-sized church. Thank God we're not struggling. But nevertheless, the work that you and I will do here as members of this parish will outlive us. Along with our families and serving our families, this will be the most lasting thing that you and I ever do. Now we're wrapping up stewardship today. And as we are accustomed to saying, and it is true, stewardship is far more than talking about money. And the facts speak for themselves anyway. We don't need to say too much. We all know that the church has to pay its bills. We all know that it costs about $2,000 a day to operate the church. We all know that if 365 families pledged that, we could take care of all of our bills and not worry about anything. We all know that $1 in 1964 is the equivalent of about $8 today. And that $2,000 in today's money is about $250 in 1964 money. And back in 1964, there were lots of Greek Orthodox in the United States that were pledging a dollar a day, $365. The only problem is today in 2018, at least nationally, there are lots and lots of Greek Orthodox who are pledging a dollar a day. So we need to look at money and think about it. Especially if you consider the biblical minimum for giving is a tithe. And even if we're just talking about $2,000, I think that is not exactly 10% of the income of most Bay Area residents. But stewardship is about more than money. People will come to the church and they'll say, what can I do? How can I volunteer? How can I help? Sometimes in the history of a church, we say, I don't know. We don't really need anything right now. What are you good at? But let me go over just a short list of ways that right now any one of us could help. And here are things we need people to do in the church. Help with the food bank distribution on Saturday. Help bolster our Philoptochos. We have this dedicated band of about a dozen ladies that is doing wonderful things. The last time I looked, 50% of the world was female. So we need to bolster the Philoptochos. Help with desktop publishing. I can't believe that coming up on 30 years as a priest, I'm still doing the church bulletin. And sometimes I feel like we need a mimeograph machine. So help with desktop publishing. Communications. Helping us get the word out about events, making up flyers, making sure things get posted on social media, making sure that we get the best possible visibility on the web. Those are things that I know there are people in our parish know how to do and could be helping with right now. We have other dreams. We'd like to take our small groups, which are flourishing, and even expand them and do some other things with them, but that requires other people to organize and lead. We'd like to do more with our youth ministry and Sunday school, and we have great volunteers, but that requires other people to volunteer, to serve, to lead. And even if none of those things tickle your fancy, the truth is that the greatest act of stewardship we make every week is to be here together, to make the effort to be here together so we can worship together and be the body of Christ. We can't be the body of Christ unless we're here in this same space, unless we're here receiving from the same chalice. Now, with regard to stewardship, we all know what Scripture says. This is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So it is incumbent upon us to lay up treasures in heaven. And thank God in the history of Holy Trinity, people have done that. The parish home where I reside was a gift from a pious woman. We've had been the benefit of other bequests, even some recently. The elevator that we put in was because of the generosity of people sitting right here today. And that's what it means to lay up treasures in heaven. Because you can take it with you, by the way. People say you can't take it. Well, you can take it with you. If you build up the church, lives your bodily existence, that's for sure. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance so that you may always have enough of everything and may provide in abundance for every good work. Sometimes scripture is difficult to understand, I'll admit that. There is nothing about verses 6 through 8 of the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians that's at all difficult to understand. And then from the Old Testament, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard, because Cain didn't give the first, the best. He gave the leftovers. God wants the best from us in everything. He doesn't want us to pray when we finally have time to do it. He wants that to be the first thing that we do in the morning. God wants our first and our best. When we outlined the stewardship program from this year, we talked about the three T's of stewardship. We've heard over and over again, time, talents, and treasure. And we said, let's talk about the three G's of stewardship. Glory, gratitude, and generosity. And we've preached a little bit on those subjects. And the idea is we give God glory for everything that He has done for us. He is so awesome that He is beyond awesome. And then we are grateful to Him because of all He's given to us. And the only response to that can be generous, can be generosity. The only response to giving God glory and being grateful to Him is to be generous. Generous with our time, with our efforts, with every aspect of our lives. To not shortchange our walk as Christians. So dear brothers and sisters, if we can agree that there are no coincidences in life, and if we can agree that along with serving our families and fulfilling our family responsibilities, that our work here at Holy Trinity will be the most enduring thing that we ever do, then we who are the members of Holy Trinity in the December 2018 must understand our divine calling, our vocation. Now you and I think, can identify with the blind man of today's gospel reading, because as I look around the congregation, I see lots and lots of people who in their lives have had faith in Jesus, have reached out to Him, and have encountered Him. So we have that faith. And we have reached out to Him. And He has changed us, and He is changing us. And as such, we give glory to Him for that reality. You and I are responsible. In fact, it is our divine calling, our vocation, to sacrifice so the Holy Trinity can be equipped, so that our parish can continue to preach and practice the gospel here internally among us, so that we can then take that gospel out into the world. That is our calling, and we are grateful for that calling. And our response to giving glory to God for all that He has done for us, our response to that gratitude that we have for our divine calling is very simple. It's to be generous. Generosity is what we are called to give back to God in support of this beautiful church, and in support of her ministries. There's no coincidence about that. It's just a fact. And the truth is, that it is a great blessing and privilege to say that you and I have been called to be together to do this very lasting thing. Upbuild our church, provide for it, and prepare to pass along our legacy to those who will follow us.